I want to give you some titles of books that have been useful, very useful, and a little useful for my own understanding of evangelism. And if you want to note the names and the authors, then please do so. And these are worthy books for you to purchase. Go to OM Bookshop and ask them to order it for you. One of the oldest and classic books on evangelism is this one by Robert E. Coleman. Robert E. Coleman. And it's called The Master Plan of Evangelism. The Master Plan of Evangelism. You'll be surprised to know that since it was first published, it has been published again and again. See the years that it has been published again and again. And it's in such tiny letters. It was first printing January 1963. And there are three columns of how many times it has been published. Reverend P.D. Chandapilla used to teach from this book even at SIACS Seminary in Bangalore. And each time he had to go and teach there, he'd call me up or when he visited me and say, "Can you give me your book? Because I've got to go and teach evangelism." And this was his basic textbook, The Master Plan of Evangelism. Robert E. Coleman. And then Chandapilla himself wrote a book called The Master Trainer. And this book has been published by OM, The Master Trainer. And interestingly, not only Operation Mobilization, but The Navigators, which, if you've studied the history of The Navigators and followed the ministry of The Navigators, they have been number one in making disciples, one-on-one. When Dawson Trotman founded this organization, Billy Graham had just started his ministry, and Billy Graham bought over, I'm using the word bought over Dawson Trotman. Billy Graham was astute in watching effective people, and he would then say, "Come join the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association." And he would build up his team, and Dawson Trotman became the man who used to be in charge of all the counseling for the Crusades. Dawson Trotman died while he was saving somebody else from drowning. Chandapilla's book, The Master Trainer. I have a book by The Navigators, Leroy Ames. And it's called The Basic Ingredients for Spiritual Growth. This is really talking about follow-up. So you win someone to Christ, how do you do follow-up? Teach them about quiet time, prayer, the church, witnessing. Teach them about follow-up, Bible study, meditation, Bible reading. Everything is in this book. The Spiritual Basic Ingredients for Spiritual Growth by Leroy Ames. And I prefer this book to other books because this is a navigator's man. another great book written by a man who influenced many, many university students in his ministry. Died in a car crash as he was going to minister to students. Mr. Paul Little. Paul Little. His name was Mr. Paul Little. L-I-T-T-L-E. He was not a little man, but his name was Little. And this book is called How to Give Away Your Faith. How to Give Away Your Faith. Excellent book on evangelism. They worked with students for 25 years. And if someone has worked with young people for over 2 decades in a certain expertise, you can be assured that they are not talking from the top of their heads. Especially if those young people are intellectually inclined, university students. Because they're not going to buy anything, you just bluff through. So this is an excellent book. I've also got a very excellent book, Let. Alright? Book Let. And this is by someone I respect very, very much. I've met him personally several times because I don't know of any foreigner who loved India as much as this man. I don't know of any white man who has loved India, perhaps even more than Indians love India, as much as the Reverend Dr. John Stott. And he wrote a little booklet. I'm sure this is from a bigger booklet. And it's called Personal Evangelism. Now this most likely is not available and no bookshop is going to get it for you because it's so small. So you might as well borrow it and photocopy it. And then of course that gem of a diamond of a book by Dawson Trotman booklet, which Mona Kaparia has, and she's shaking her head. You've got it? Have you got it with you? She's got it with her, but it's with Anu. So, Mona and Anu are one. Because she says, she's got it and she's got Anu. Alright, have you finished with it? Have you all finished with it? Great. Wow. So here's the booklet. Have you read it? Okay. But you're done with it, right? Alright. So, excellent booklet, Dawson Trotman. If anybody knew how to go to one, and harass someone in a good way till that person got saved and then keep harassing him till he got mature, it was Dawson Trotman. You couldn't avoid him. He was like a leech. And there's a big book on his life, biography, called Dawes, D-A-W-S. If you can get a hold of that, fascinating reading, Dawes. But this is a little booklet he wrote, Born to Reproduce. You have no right, according to Dawson Trotman, actually from God Himself, through the Word of God, you have no right to be barren in your spiritual life. You should be making disciples. I've asked everybody who's not in the technology doing anything with recording or sound system, to please come forward. And it's for my sake, because I don't want the wall or the pillar blocking my view of you. Thank you. There's plenty of space here on this side as well. Lots of chairs, empty. So please come forward. Now, these two booklets are excellent. There is a friend of mine called George David, who's a brethren evangelist, full-time worker in Mao. And George David wrote this booklet, which was published by Gospel Literature Service under the pseudonym GD, G standing for George, D for David, Yesudas, the servant of Christ. And it's an excellent imaginary conversation between a Hindu and a Christian. And it's very good title, Are All Religions the Same? I haven't found a better presentation of the gospel to a Hindu. And so I would urge everyone to get this booklet in its original from GLS Press, Mumbai. Are All Religions the Same? By G.D. Yesudas. It's a conversation, imaginary, made up between two people. It's a conversation, Prakash and Satish, who are talking about Christ. And excellent. How many of you have ever read this? Hi, Chandu, I thought at least your hand would go. You have. Thank you. Do you think it's good? Or you've kind of forgotten what it is? Because you read it when you were long ago. Long, long ago, when most of you were not born. So the story goes. But excellent. I hope you're not recording all this stuff. Because you can edit, okay? Those who get to the internet or DCC's website can get these books. I hope they give me a 10% commission. Oh, that's also recorded, see? Then you better put my name and address. Okay? You can see I don't care so much for recordings. But excellent book. Now, In Quest for Truth is, I'm not going to say excellent, but this is a booklet written by a Muslim who became a Christian, Dr. Ibrahim Deshmukh. And you might think Deshmukh is a Hindu name, but I think he used to live in Aurangabad. Okay? And the two Patoles, are shaking their head. And we have this booklet, and it'll give you some insight on how to communicate the gospel to a Muslim. Now, I need to tell you something. I have been involved in missions and evangelism all my saved life, and there has been in Christian circles more effort, formal and organized, more effort made to reach, let me ask you, to reach Hindus or to reach Muslims? Which group do you think more effort has been made by Christians? Muslims, that's right. There has been more effort being made to reach Muslims than Hindus. In fact, I need to tell you this. I was in a training seminar at the Bible Center years ago, before the days of the Wakankars, and we were there I think for a whole week, day and night. I was the only one who would come and go from home. But one day, there was one or two who had come for that seminar who were Muslim converts. And they just had an outburst. And there was a huge, huge fight between the Christians, Muslim converts and non-Muslim converts. And there was a big fight. And since I used to not stay with them at the Bible Center, when I got there, I had to get to understand what was there. And the issue was that the Muslim converts were saying that you Christians who've come from a Christian background are not sensitive to us. And after the whole day was expended in trying to bring reconciliation, I began to understand, because I had been to that seminar as well as several others, I began to understand that Muslim converts find it harder to be assimilated into the Christian church than Hindu converts. They carry some kind of hurt. And one of the hurts is that you people who have come from nominal Christian background, you are afraid of us. And this was 20 years ago. Today, we are even more afraid, right? Mr. Laptop came, and many of the women thought he's got a bomb in it. And actually he was giving it to me, so I don't know why the women who thought there was a bomb didn't grab the laptop and save me. I guess you are happy if I'm in heaven, you're better off. But you know what Sandy and I were talking about is that bomb issue never came to our mind, so we must be pretty idiotic as your elders. Neither Sandy nor I, even for a moment, only after I was in the middle of my lunch and I heard about this bomb issue, did I understand that there's a possibility there was a bomb. But even after that, I was not thinking of that possibility. Only when I went to bed, I thought, yeah, sure, there could have been a bomb. But it was very hard for me, even after some of you said there could have been a bomb, and you've got to use your mind and be intelligent, not idiotic like the elders are. It didn't hit me. It didn't strike me. So I want you to know that Muslims who have become Christians carry a hurt that you Christians are suspicious of us. And there's communities like that who are hurt after they come into the Christian church. And I hope you spend time with Chandrakant Vakankar and ask him how many years it took for him, am I saying something right, to figure out Christians in the Christian church, and ask him the challenges and the problems he faced. Because people like Hema and I don't know about Anu Pargaonkar sitting there. Did you know her surname used to be Pargaonkar? Did you know that? How many of you know that? Yeah. If I tell you something about even the people who come from nominal Christian background, there's lots of us who don't know anything about anybody. We are very close friends, but we don't know much about most of each other. I remember as a young believer, almost till my 20s, most Christians didn't know that I had a mother and father. Some of them thought I'm an orphan. I must have looked very beggarly. I don't know what it was, but you know. So you have to understand that we are not in the heart and in the mind. Our mindset and our heart set is not conducive to win others to Christ. Because even if they are won to Christ by other agencies, by the grace of God, ultimately, and they come into the Christian church, it's very hard for us to accept someone who is different from us. Did you realize that? And from my early days of doing evangelism, I used to take some non-Christians who came to Christ through my ministry as I traveled around, and I'd go to the local church because I would be leaving that place, and I'd take this young new believer and I'd go to a pastor and I'd say, "Pastorji, you don't know me, but this is who I am." Then they would just get some connection, and I would tell them my antecedents so that they would not be suspicious of me. And then I would say, "I'm leaving this new believer with you. Please nurture him. I'll go by up. What are you doing? We'll get trouble." And 9 out of 10, almost 10 out of 10 pastors refused the new converts. And I went out like this from 1973 onwards. And year after year, that was my personal experience, that we were not geared to receive new believers. And we demonstrated that in some measure with that laptop boy. We did. Our first response was suspicion. That's our first response. I tell you, in the EU days of my ministry, we used to be like that about the blacks, university students. And many of these blacks or Muslim converts or even Hindu converts said, "Now which family, which parent will be willing to give us their daughter or their son in marriage? They're all suspicious of us, right? They're suspicious of us." Are you receiving what I'm saying? Absorb it and think about it. Switch gears in your mind and just think, if 10 non-Christians join DCC, fresh non-Christians, not the old non-Christians who are already with DCC, if 10 new non-Christians join DCC, how much change would have to happen in the way we conduct ourselves? Not just the worship service, but how many things would change in DCC? Where you are, break up into fives and discuss that. Where you are, break up into fives, discuss this. If 10 non-Christians, and 10 is not a sacred number, say 15, 50, 5, okay, non-Christians, brand new non-Christians became believers, brand new believers, what changes would take place? I'll give you additional inputs. Break up into fives where you are. Break up into